This is the Kinky Cast, an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 116 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. We welcome guests with opposing viewpoints. Today, our guest is the amazing Lady D. Here's your hosts, Woody and Chrissy.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to another edition of the Kinky Cast. Sitting next to me is not one, but two lovely ladies, and one of them is Chrissy. Chrissy, it's been a long time since you've been sitting in that chair.
Hi, Woody. You're right. It's been a long time, and I'm so happy to be back.
You're back, and you brought somebody with you.
I did. We have a guest with us today, a wonderful woman from Atlanta by the name of Lady D.
Lady D, I've heard about her for years.
I know. She's a mysterious woman of color, and she's very colorful. In fact, today she is glowing gold.
I'm impressed. Let me adjust my sunglasses.
Absolutely. Her personality and joy just radiates through the room. Lady D, hi.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome to our studio today.
I'm so glad to be here. So glad to be here.
It's been a long time since we have somebody in the studio. We normally connect to them all over the world, but it's nice to have somebody back in the studio again.
Yes, especially someone as wonderful as she is.
It is. Lady D, we've heard about you. Well, I've heard about you forever. I've only been in the lifestyle 20 years, and I know that you have a lot more than that.
Yes, it just means that I'm old, but we'll say seasoned, because that just sounds so much better.
Seasoned, I like that. I'm going to start using that.
Exactly.
I don't know. Spicy might be a good term.
Spicy and seasoning. They're both good. So when did you start into the scene?
Publicly, it was when Nancy Ava Miller came to Atlanta to start PEP Atlanta, which was about 1990.
1990. Okay. That goes back before the internet was popular and all that. And so just people getting together at houses and things. Is that how it worked back then?
Yes. We had a group in Atlanta called the Atlanta POW Exchange. They met quarterly. They actually rented out a space at a hotel. And they had classes in the afternoon. And then they had a big party in the evening. It was a wonderful organization, and they invited Nancy to Atlanta, and she came, and she stayed for about 3 or 4 months and brought PEP to Atlanta.
Nancy Ava Miller is a wonderful person. I've met her several times in Nashville and at other places around the Middle Tennessee area. She's known as the Johnny Appleseed of kink.
We had Nancy Ava Miller on the show back in 2014. Anybody wants to get some history on that, go back and check that one out.
She's very important.
Very important. At that time, what she was literally doing was traveling around the country and starting kink organizations, because people would write to her. And when she got enough invitations from people saying, you know, please come, she would go and she would start organizations. And she started PEP organizations all around the country. Amazing woman.
How did that work in Atlanta when you wrote to her? You said that you wrote to her, and when she realized that there was a genuine interest and desire to start a PEP chapter, that she would come and get the wheels turning. Did you find that there was a large need in the area?
I actually did not write to her, but people wrote to her. And the woman, Mistress Panther, who ran Atlanta POW Exchange, actually invited her. But there was a need, because there was this big function that happened quarterly, but there was nothing in between that time. So you waited almost 4 months, and then there was a big thing, and then you...
Then there was a void.
And then there was a drought for four more months.
A lot of frustrated kinksters.
And, you know, and we're talking about a time before the internet. So it was very, very different. Everything was word of mouth. And you knew somebody that knew somebody that knew somebody that knew somebody. You know, you could not type in BDSM and get, you know, 100 trillion things like you can today. So very different.
different world, and there's a lot of tell a friend and vet them carefully because you don't know who they are.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it was an interesting time. Yeah, I didn't come in till the middle 90s into the scene, and so it was starting to become an internet. That's when things were just taking off with bondage.com and those sorts of resources, which is actually what brought me in, because I found out that there was this big kinky organization in the world that I was missing.
Oh, yes. Things were a lot more underground. You had a lot more to lose than you did today.
That's true.
The laws have changed drastically. You know, people literally lost their homes, they lost their children, they lost their jobs, just in being known that they were kinksters. So things were very different back then.
And the different states had different levels of prosecuting also. We're sitting here in the Bible Belt right now, and things are a little...
in the belt buckle of the Bible Belt.
Very much.
Yes, ma'am. That's the truth, isn't it, though?
I was raised on the West Coast in San Francisco, so it was a very different world out there where anything went.
And I came originally from New York, so very different, because New York was not the South. And understand, I was a woman of color in the South running an organization during times when women of color were not running. And it was a predominantly Caucasian organization. So I got hate mail, and in a time that, you know, it was very different. It was very, very, very different.
I'm sorry you experienced that.
Actually, you know, everything that happens in your life happens for a reason. And I came from New York, so I came from the melting pot of the world. And so I didn't really encounter prejudice until I came to the South. And it was very, very different. And it was really quite eye-opening and astounding. I mean, it was things that my parents had talked to me about, and it was stuff that I read in books. But to actually experience it firsthand was very different. But I had this longing to teach people about this lifestyle, and to teach not just what it is, but how to indulge in it in a safe and sane manner. This was not a time where you could say, I want to know how to wax, and information came up. I wanted to make sure that people were exploring, but that they were doing so in a manner that they were not harming and hurting people.
Training in the early 2000s, right around 2000, was starting to be a big thing in the larger cities, to where they would draw some fairly large crowds to teach different techniques in the kinky world. And that was a great thing. We don't see as much now as we did then.
We don't. And I think the internet has had a lot to do with that. Back then, you learned by someone showing you how to do those things. I think that was really wonderful, because it was a lot of hands-on. And so people don't particularly have to do that now. Now, the problem with that is you have to decipher what you're reading as to what is fact and what is fiction. And so there's a lot of people out there that's going and thinking that they know what they're doing, and they don't know what they're doing, because they've read this article that has told them that this has to be the way that this should be done. So, you know, it's that the internet is a two-edged sword. It, you know, it's a wonderful thing, because you can reach more people than you ever could before. And the harm is that you can reach more people than you ever could.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, ma'am. You're so right on that point. Wow. I find that in our particular area, in this region, there are a lot of people that are teaching. And as you said, even though hands-on people teaching, a lot of them have only been doing what they do for a year or a year and a half, or really who knows, because everyone seems to have a mysterious past. Nobody can really verify.
It doesn't go back very far.
So, yeah, it's a little bit scary sometimes. But I do find, as Woody, to counter you, I do find that there is a much more directed effort to teach. And I'm a big believer in each one, teach one. Huge. And And then we could even go a step further and say, just because you know how to throw a flogger, or you know how to pour wax, or you know how to poke a needle, or whatever, there's so much more that can't be taught in a hands-on.
Yeah, it's all about nuanced.
What we do is so deep, and there's so many layers.
There's a lot of layers, and the how-to stuff, we have sort of done a swing, I've seen, that there was more DS, MS kind of relationships and things going on, and now there seems to be more of the SM going on. And so people are learning how to flog, and they're learning how to wax, and they're learning how to cane. But relationship basis is where I feel that sometimes we're losing. Because of modern technology, one of the problems is that you have everything right there at your hand. And so we're not doing the one-on-one skills of how you interact, effective communication, problem solving. You know, people are blasting people on Fed and on all of these different social medias. Whereas before, when I had a problem with you, I would come and say, we need to talk about this. There is a situation and I'm unhappy about that.
People are a lot more brave with a keyboard than they are in person.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
And all the troops rally behind them from the comfort of their living room. Yeah, I know. It's sad, isn't it?
A different era.
I know when I want to be more dominant, I type harder.
And in all capitals, when you really want to tell people what you think.
Now that I have your attention.
And how's that working for you, Woody?
It's a good thing I have a podcast. I can get it out that way.
So, Lady D, ma'am, you started way, way back there in the old days of the 90s, starting the PEP group with Nancy Ava Miller's blessing and her push. And then what happened to PEP?
Actually, we did really well. It was almost 13 years when we finally closed down PEP. And that was when the internet started booming. And we started getting such an influx of new people that a lot of the values, a lot of the things that we did, we found out was not as effective as it used to be.
What happened next? How did that proceed?
PEP was an educational group. It was a social organization, and it evolved. I mean, it started with Nancy, Ava Miller, myself, and probably a dozen men. We evolved to it being more pansexual. As more people came in, we changed the rules to help benefit and to draw in different crowds and make it comfortable for everyone. So it started where the pricing was men paid more and women didn't pay at all. And that did not work because it was like women would walk in and men would, you know, smack their lips like T-bone steaks.
Yes.
That was not going to be. And I wanted the organization to be all-encompassing, and I wanted everyone to feel like they were a part of it. It evolved over the years and actually became a wonderful family-type organization, and it was built upon respect and loyalty and honesty and a lot of those values. When you walked into PEP, it was each one teach one, and that was actually the big sign that you saw when you walked through the doors. And it was wonderful. I think that it was really much needed in that time. The surrounding states like Tennessee, South Carolina, North Carolina actually used to come to PEP. They traveled for lots of hours just to come because there wasn't the little organizations in those different states like they have now. We did community outreach. The sanctuary was around, and Daddy Doug,
what an amazing person he was.
Amazing man who started the sanctuary, and that was for the gay Leathermen. And so we did community things together. We did things Atlanta was booming in the 90s. Let me tell you, it was an incredible place to be kinky.
That's great. That's great. You were a beacon for the area.
So then if we fast forward up to the more current history, what have you been involved in now?
Well, I was blessed 2 years ago to go to South Africa for the first Miss South Africa leather contest.
That was a fabulous and so exciting event. Oh my gosh.
It was amazing. It was an amazing event.
And the little title holder, the winner. Oh, she's so sweet. Oh my God.
She's adorable.
Yes, she is.
And I was really blessed to be there and be her little grandmama.
She couldn't have a better person to mentor her and guide her.
And so we did that and then brought her to the States. So she got a chance to travel within the country, and that was absolutely wonderful. And so we did a big leather drive because they didn't have leather. And it's very difficult for them to get leather in Africa. And so we did a leather drive, and we sent each one, Mr. South Africa and Ms. South Africa, a suitcase full of leathers to take back to their communities.
That's amazing.
Oh my gosh.
I wonder why they can't obtain leather there.
They don't have the shops like here. They don't have the people, you know, that can just make them like here. And the worst thing is to order them, anything that you ship is, the pricing is astronomical.
I imagine customs might be a little interesting too, because they don't quite understand it.
I'm sure they've seen stranger things than that come through customs.
They may have, but I'm not saying. So that has been wonderful. And recently, my most recent endeavor, as if, you know, I don't have enough of those, I brought back the onyx pearls about 8 years ago. I started the Onyx Pearls, which was the sister organization to the Men of Onyx. And so in January, I relaunched the Pearls. It is a organization for women of color and those that love us. We do community outreach. It's open to women regardless of your orientation. It is a organization that we do a lot of work in, and we have bar nights, and it's just wonderful kinky leather women. I'm very, very excited. Our very, very first line just crossed over at LLC last weekend, and it was a phenomenal 16 women that became full members of the Pearls. So I'm so excited about that.
What are the steps to proceed through the process?
Our next pledge line probably will not be till 2017 because we are starting up. But it's a leather sorority. Mm-hmm. So you would go through the same steps that you would any sorority. You would, you know, you would come and you would pledge and you would go through those weeks and weeks of us.
Is there any hazing, any spanking involved?
There's no hazing. Hazing is not allowed.
But spanking is. So she says and giggles.
Chrissy, you're so bad.
And I can't tell you all the things that's involved because if I told you, then I'd have to kill you. And
oh,
you
know, no.
And there's too many people listening to this.
Yes. There's just way too many witnesses. It is indeed a incredible organization. One of the things for me is that I want to see women of color shown in a different light. The media has a tendency to show us as always bickering, fighting in the streets, you know, that all black women are jealous of one another. And I wanted to show that we can be empowered, that we can stick together as sisters, that we can love one another, that we can support one another. And I think it's time to show some of those things.
So you're showing strength and unity.
Definitely so. Definitely so. And we are doing it on our own, but we have a really, really good guide because the Men of Onyx have just celebrated 20 years. So 20 years of success as an organization is nothing to sneeze about.
That's for sure.
For our listeners, can you tell us what Onyx is?
Men of Onyx is for men of color. It is open to the men. And they have Mufasa Ali is one of the founding members, and they do exactly what we do. They do a lot of community outreach, and it gives them that same type of unity. And I'm really excited about it. www.onyxmen.com.
Lady D, is the Onyx group, is that open to any sexual orientation?
I believe that the Men of Onyx is open to men of any orientation now, and they even allow trans men.
Awesome.
We open our group, the Onyx Pearls, is open to women. If you live as a woman, identify as a woman, you are welcome. If you are not a woman of color, we still want you. You can become an associate member. And we're actually having an associate member drive now. Our prices is half price of what it normally would be. It is a incredible organization. We have started Onyx Southeast here, and Mid-Atlantic Onyx Pearls are also in the midst of creating. And
where is that based out of? Is it Baltimore?
They're based out of Baltimore and Chicago and New Jersey and Virginia.
Oh, so it's the whole.
Yeah, it's a,
the whole, that whole northern
north,
region.
Northeastern.
Awesome.
Region. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I know that in our particular little segment, our little slice of Americana here, there is very few people of color that come out to events. I've been seeing a few more as time passes, but still I can count on maybe one hand with a few fingers tossed in there. Total, the people that I know, very small group of folks. And from what I see and what I hear, the community is a very welcoming community. So I don't know if they're just not here or they don't know, or how to reach folks, how to bring them in and welcome them. And this is for men, women, gay, straight. I don't care your sexual orientation or your gender or however you want to identify. That's irrelevant. I'm just not seeing people of color, and I don't know why.
Well, it's really interesting that you say that, because, you know, I still am teaching. But one of the classes that I teach now is about diversity. And I teach it to let people know how you can help, the things that you can do to diversify your group. People of color, we have our own issues, which is the reason why we are creating our own groups too, to talk about the things that we need to discuss of why it is difficult to come out. And understand that you feeling that it is welcoming is not the same thing as them feeling that it's welcoming. So some of these barriers are the things that we talk about now. Last weekend at LLC, there were three incredible classes. Sir Guy did one on race and racism, which was an enlightening class. And we did a Onyx panel with the Onyx men and the Onyx Pearls. And we talked about that diversity and things that's needed. And then I did a diversity class. And we talked about those kinds of issues of getting people out and how to do that. Depending on where you are, depends on what is needed. There are different things needed. So, you know, if you are in the Midwest, it's very different than being in the South. The South is very different than being in New York.
For sure.
So, yeah, it's very interesting. And we're doing a lot more talking about that diversity and how to achieve that.
Miss Lady D, what are you doing now with yourself other than the Onyx Pearls? You're teaching. Do you have a poly family? Are you part of Mama's family?
I am part of Mama's family. I'm Mama's Lady D. Who
of
else?
Of course. Awesome. What else are you doing?
I think Mama's goal is just to adopt the world.
And she's doing well.
Every Kingston, she's doing very well. I wear a lot of hats. Let me tell you, Chrissy. I'm an ordained minister, And so I do counseling. I also perform ceremonies, commitment ceremonies, weddings. That has me pretty busy. One of the things that used to upset me was the fact that I feel that two people that are in love that want to commit to one another should be able to.
Absolutely.
And the fact that they would go to their ministers or their churches and they would refuse to marry them, I felt that that was just a travesty. And so I wanted anyone that had the fortitude to say, this is the person I want to spend the rest of my life with, to be able to do that. And so I am ordained and can do that now, and I'm really, really happy about that. I'm also a certified hypnotherapist, and I've been doing hypnosis for over 20 years.
Awesome.
Which is really, really wonderful. I do hypnosis and kinky stuff now, but I actually got into hypnosis just for the purpose of helping people. I remember back in the day when there was such a need because there were so many people that were doing kink things, and then they would be so guilty because they did kinky things. Ultimately, what I feel is that this lifestyle is about self-exploration and being your authentic self.
Yes, my phrase.
Your authentic yes. self, however that translates.
Yes, I'm with you.
So yeah. I'm a big preacher and teacher of helping you to get there. I think it's really, really needed. I think people come into this lifestyle and they don't explore why they do what they do. They just do.
Yes. Yes. I've found that to be true. And also they use it as therapy when it's not therapy.
Woo! Don't get me started on that.
Yeah.
What I say is this lifestyle can be very therapeutic.
Yes.
However, it is not a substitute for therapy.
Yes.
And so, therefore, if you have issues, you need to deal with your issues. One of my classes is called What Color Crazy Are You?
And I like that.
And I talk about that because we all have our colors of crazy.
Everyone. We're human beings.
We're human beings. But you have to know that, acknowledge that, because the first step towards any type of healing is being aware.
Yes.
And if you're not aware that there's a problem, then obviously you're not going to work on doing anything.
And you'll be hurting yourself and others along the way.
One of the problems about bringing your authentic self out is how other people around you and your family, etc., accept it. You know, some people are trying to be themselves and other people are holding it back.
I am a believer that no one can hold you back. They can make those attempts. And I guess you have to see how invested you are. And I guess maybe this comes with age. I'm at a point in my life, you take what you get. This is who I am.
Right. You just don't care. This is it.
I no longer am willing to conform for the world to love me. I love me. And I think when you learn to love you, you do that above what mom thinks is right, dad thinks is right, what your brothers and sisters, what the church thinks. You get to a place where I've got to be who I am. I see so many people that are so unhappy. They're miserable. And life is too short for that. It's too short for you to... I met a man while I was out teaching, and he was a cross-dresser. And he said to me, "Oh my God, I love your outfit." And I said, "Well, we should go shopping one day." And he says, "The only time I get to dress is when I'm out on the road, and you know, I travel a lot." And he says, "But it's lonely just doing it in my hotel room." And I said, "Why do you do that?" And he said, "I can't. I make too much money and I have to take care of the entire family, and I can't ever just be who I am." And we're talking about a man who is almost a millionaire who is miserable. I just can't imagine that. And so I say that, Woody, to say that at some point you have to come to peace with yourself and who you are and pray that people do. But I feel that sometimes it may be a road and sometimes they may say no, but ultimately it's either live the life that everybody else wants you to or live the life of who you are and hope that people get on board.
So true. There are people that say, what's the worst that can happen? People will walk away from me, but they'll come back eventually.
If they're meant to be there, they will.
Yeah.
And if they're not, they may need to not be there.
Exactly.
Because the truth of the matter is that there are some people that's in our lives that are not productive. They keep us from being productive. I believe the universe puts in our path what we need. But I think that because, back to that human factor, we cling on to things a lot longer than we should because we are afraid to let go. And ultimately, life's lessons is about letting go. I learned that when I had to let go of Pep. Pep was my baby. I birthed it. I nurtured it. I watched it grow.
You caressed it, massaged it, cuddled it, stroked it.
You know, I watched it go from crawling to running. Oh. And then it was that day to let it go. You know, and I couldn't even imagine. I couldn't imagine doing that.
When that door shut, it must have been crushing.
It was so crushing. But what I've learned is when you don't close the door, then you don't get the opportunity for the next one to open. Mm-hmm. And where I am in my life is exactly where I should be. And I would not be here if I was still trying to cling to something that needed its own time. It had its time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm excited about where I am now. I'm excited about what I'm doing now. I love traveling. I love teaching. I'm emceeing.
Many hats.
Judging contests. You know, sometimes I don't even get a chance to take off one hat. I just plop another one on top of it and keep it moving. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that.
It is great to see you so active and exuberant about what you're doing. The energy in this room is amazing.
One of the classes that I just formed last year was Elders and the Elderly in the Lifestyle.
Oh, that's a great topic.
That is a class that needs to be taught. I've been hearing too much of, the elders don't come out anymore. But people don't understand that for us to continue to come out, there are special needs that we didn't have 20 years ago. Driving at night, I could do that 20 years ago.
Uh-huh.
You know, being on a fixed income is, you know, do you know how many times I worked overtime because I knew I was going to an event for the weekend and so I could have that extra money? When you're on a fixed income, there is no working overtime.
Right.
You know, your medical needs change as you get older. There are a lot of different considerations.
But not only that, in addition to all of that, which are all very valid things to talk about, is also the older people are ignored. I find when I go to the club, say I'm older, not old, but I'm older, and I look around and everyone is 10, 15, 20, 30, 35 years younger than me. They look at me and I'm the old lady. They don't want to play with me because I'm like their grandma. In their mind, I mean, when I was that age, I didn't want to play with anybody. They don't want to talk to me because don't know.
You don't speak their language anymore.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I'm a different generation, and you know, and I'm not saying that people are rude or, you know, disrespectful or anything negative like that. It's just we become invisible.
But you know that, and I say this all the time. What happens in our lifestyle is what's happening in society as a whole.
Yes.
We used to honor our elderly. We used to sit at our feet as children and listen to them. Young men used to get up on a bus and let a lady my age sit down. Those things are not happening now. So to think that they don't happen out in society as a whole, but think that they're going to happen in our community is not really realistic, because that's not happening.
And I'm having trouble accepting my age because I've never been this age before, and I don't know how I'm supposed to feel, and I don't know how I'm supposed to act, so I just feel like I'm 25. Screw it.
You're only as old as you're mentally adjusted, you know? Physical issues that we have to adapt to. I still see myself very young and domly.
Well, you are domly.
Oh, thank you.
Well, that's okay. I'm going out kicking and screaming. Let me tell you.
Our kinkiness has not changed just because we got older.
Exactly.
You know, I still have the same thoughts that I did when I first came into the lifestyle. I just have to approach it differently.
Well, you know, the other thing is that looking at it on both sides, I'm teaching my babies. I'm teaching them because they are my future. Mm. You know, when I can no longer do this, my each one teach one is going to be the ones that's going to pay this forward.
Right.
So I'm teaching my generation, which is teaching the baby generation. And I realize that I'm teaching the 40-somethings who's teaching the 20-somethings, because when I tried to teach the 20-somethings, there was too much of a gap, and I really didn't understand their language, nor did they understand mine.
Right, right. They kind of got a little defensive, like you were lecturing, and it wasn't that way at all.
Well, but when we were 20, we thought that about our parents,
exactly,
too.
Like, exactly. Really?
But there's also different life experience
exactly.
at that level.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying being grandma and mom. You know, Lady D is just Lady D. What can I say?
And you're gorgeous. Thank you for joining us today. It's wonderful to have you, and I'm so grateful that you found time in your jam-packed, busy life to visit us here at our studio.
We're honored by your presence.
And thank you so much. Have me back anytime. I'd love it. Love it. Thank
you. I'm sure there's stories we can delve into that go on for a while.
Yeah, another day, another time.
Lady right. D, thank you so much.
You have been listening to episode 116 of The Kinky Cast. For more information about this show, go to kinkycast.com. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of Woody, the Beast, and all our kinky crew, I'm Max. See you next week when we bring you Griffin speaking about hard play.